Welcome into the Whole Hog Podcast. Seth Campbell joined alongside Scotty Bordelon. And Scotty, we're in new digs.
Yes, nice setup.
We got
better than sharing a microphone like we did 2 weeks ago.
That was an interesting setup. We got through it, though. We made it through.
Barely. I rambled for like half the podcast last time.
The other side is always, they say the grass is always greener on the other side. Well, we got some green grass right now. We need to enjoy it with a nice setup. Thanks to everybody that worked hard to get us this setup, including Spencer Tyree. And I think that we're going to produce some great stuff here starting today, Scotty. Looking down at the rundown, we've got some good things coming up. Jamil Walker, Arkansas football. Scotty wrote a piece about him, so we'll get to him. 6-week preseason football schedule was announced. And then we also got some basketball for you. Chaney, that's the big news. Chaney transferring, and we've got it on good authority that he is going into the portal.
Yeah, he's in it.
And Justin Smith as well. We didn't get to talk about him. It seems like a little bit of old news, but since we were the former basketball podcast of Mid-America, I feel like we have to talk about that as well. Two basketball dudes here, but let's start with football, as that is what is on top of everybody's mind. What did you get to know about Jamil Walker?
I learned that the players that I talked to last week and this week really like him. They like his energy. I feel like that's kind of the case with players whenever, like anytime a new strength coach and strength staff comes in, like they like his energy.
Right. And I should have said that.
Right off the bat.
Like, he's the strength coach.
Yeah, he's the director of strength and conditioning with the football program. But the guys that I talked to, and you can read it in the story, it just published on Whole Hog on, what is today, Thursday? So it would have been on Wednesday. They really like how he's building relationships with those guys. And Clay Henry learned through Trey Knox that it wasn't out of the ordinary for strength coaches to jump in on video games with players during like the COVID shutdown. So that's like another way that they're building relationships with the guys. And you have to have relationships with players in the weight room. And Jamil Walker said there was like a 3 or 4 minute video that the football Twitter account posted earlier this month. And Jamil Walker was kind of talking about his philosophy, trying to reach guys. And strength coaches have to be able to reach players in ways that maybe other people can't. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, those strength coaches and that strength staff are responsible for those players' development. And you can't even start building a foundation for development without getting and building some relationships with those guys. And so far, I mean, I think they're off to a good start. One of the things that stood out to me was I talked to Joe Fouché, and he said before the shutdown, he said, like, the workouts were hard, but I was having fun. Like, I was enjoying them. I'm like, I'm not a guy that enjoys working out, but like if college football players, like those athletes are enjoying their workouts, like you kind of can set the fatigue stuff aside and just kind of get down to business. So that stood out to me first and foremost.
Yeah. And also something that I thought caught my eye was you talked about relationships, and it's important for a strength coach to build a relationship, because when you think about how much time the strength coach will spend, he almost spends kind of the off time with these players.
Those strength coaches spend more time with the kids, especially now, given the circumstances, but they spend more time than with the kids than anybody else on the staff.
And so when he's building those relationships in your story, he talks about, or I think it was Fouché talks about, he never really raises his voice a whole lot. And then when he does, you know that it's time to get serious about stuff. And I thought that kind of speaks to relationships.
I thought it was interesting. Fouché, Joe said that, you know, he's not about the screaming and yelling. He'll only do the screaming and yelling when he has to, and it's mm-hmm. pretty rare. And he's kind of encouraged guys, you know, if they see one of their teammates, you know, not going 100%, he's kind of giving them free rein to, you know, do a little yelling and screaming, but not, you know, obviously not cross the line, go overboard.
Yeah. I was just a little disappointed. He's talking about guys joining their games. You haven't joined any of my Fortnite games yet, Scotty. Open invitation.
Pretty trash at Fortnite, to be honest. You can ask Jimmy Carter. I've played that game probably. I played probably 2 or 3 games the first time. I should have quit after that because I finished 5th, and then every other time was awful.
Hey, new season is out. I'll get you on board.
What do you play on?
PS4.
PS4. So yeah, I'm still in the Stone Ages. I've got a PS3. I'm not caught up. I'm still playing like March Madness 2008.
Hey, but that kind of thing. You got those games. That's why I still have my 360, is because I still have NCAA 12, which I don't like to admit a whole lot, but like I'm in 2045 on my dynasty.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm in the 40s.
So who, like, which school are you with?
I'm an offensive coordinator at Oklahoma right now.
Are you really? So you have you taken head coaching jobs yet?
I have, and then I got kind of bored with it.
Oh yeah, you just went back to calling plays.
Yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, I'm sure the people at home don't care about my dynasty.
Man, a lot of people are doing this.
A lot of people are. You know, I think I've thought about streaming. I'm just kidding. Not really. I'm not that.
You're gonna
good.
Pull the big cat.
No.
Start. You're gonna create Coach Doug's.
Coach Doug's. No, hey, but that has been valuable entertainment over these past few weeks.
No kidding.
All right, something else that was making headlines that is relatively new is that the NCAA has approved a 6-week football preseason. And there's a lot of details in there because, well, it's the NCAA. But from everything that you've seen, Scotty, what does that mean as far as football and returning?
Yeah, so this change is from Matt's story. It says the changes are intended to make up for practice time that was lost in the spring. Obviously, we know Arkansas didn't get any of its spring practice. I think everything was shut down. Like athletic activities were shut down three or four days before Arkansas was supposed to start spring practice. And I hate to admit that I kind of missed it. I'm one of those guys that I do not like spring practice just because sometimes you hear that so-and-so is doing this and he's bound for like a great year. And then he doesn't even play in the fall.
Yeah.
Those kind of storylines kind of drive me nuts. So I, at first, wasn't like really missing spring practice, but yeah, would have killed for it this year. But starting July 24th, players can participate in up to 20 hours of football activities, including up to 8 hours of weight training and conditioning, 6 hours of walkthroughs, which the walkthroughs are going to be a big thing because you're actually going to be able to, you're having class on grass instead of class on on your laptop, like they've been doing since the shutdown started, and then you can have up to 6 weeks of or 6 hours of team meetings and film review. So,
I knew a lot of kids that went to class on grass.
Yeah, same. Yeah, that's what a lot of college is.
Sorry, there was a joke there. I couldn't let it slide. Yes, but I was actually really surprised. I got to talk to Bumper Pool for an article that's going to be in Hogs Illustrated, which I really encourage you to pick up. But he was talking about, he doesn't really think that they're losing a whole lot. He's like, of course, you can't replace reps on the field. But he thinks that because of the Zoom meetings and how they've had smaller meetings and coaches have really worked hard to make them interactive, he said that you can't really go in there and not know because it is a new system. And so you're having to pay attention because you don't know when you're going to be called on in these meetings.
Yeah.
And coaches are trying to make it more interactive. And he says, so I feel like it's actually helped us. And he said that he doesn't believe that they are going to be as far behind as some people might think when they step out on the field for the first time and get to make contact with each other.
That's interesting because it's like you can have all of that information swirling around in your head.
How do you get it out?
Yeah, but like once you get on the field, is it going to translate? Like, are guys going to, like, are they retaining? They can say that they're retaining the information, but once you get on the field, you actually have to show that you have retained it, like you're knowledgeable and that you can like put it into action. So that's what those walkthroughs are going to be for, just to see who's retained what.
And it's just a good time for everybody to get a look at the team. It almost reminds me of there's a lot in knowing something and being able to repeat that on paper with plenty of time. But whenever it's in the middle of the game, you've got 40 seconds on a play clock and you've got to line everybody up, call a play. And you got to come up to the top of your memory. All that stuff has come to the top of memory. It's quick. And it doesn't become memory anymore. It becomes muscle memory.
Right. It's just reactionary.
And so those guys, there is no replacing, as he said, there is no replacing getting on grass, having class.
For sure. Yeah. Sam Pittman, the last time we talked to him, when was that? I guess that was maybe the day after the protest on the Fayetteville Square.
Yes.
And Pittman was pretty confident that, you know, teams were going to be able to have like what the NFL has with like the OTAs, the organized team activities. He was pretty confident that Arkansas and a bunch of other schools were going to be able to, or I guess all the schools were going to be able to have kind of like those OTAs. I think those are going to be pretty beneficial.
Yeah.
Non-physical stuff. Yeah. Like you were saying.
Non-physical type of situation. But they said, you know, we just need terminology on the field. We need technique on the field. We need all those things that we didn't have the opportunity to get in spring ball. So Scotty and I explained it the best we could. There's a lot of technicalities in there as well. Make sure to click the link in the description for Matt's complete story on returning for the 6-week football preseason.
So Matt also had a line in this story. He said, like, if July 24th is like the official start to the preseason, I guess, because it's two additional weeks from when preseason practice would traditionally start. Mm-hmm. So like August 7th, like it would be Arkansas's earliest preseason start date in probably ever.
Right. And it's normally beginning of August sometime around in there.
Yeah. I can't remember, which this may not be in here anymore, but he told me that, you know, several years ago, you know, I think the NCAA maybe moved up. I think it was the year that they did away with two-a-days, and so they moved up, or they expanded the amount of days that you could have preseason practice. And I think preseason practice that year started, you know, like July 27th or something like that. So that's really early.
Yeah.
That's really early. But, you know, July 24th start day, that's barely a month from now. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. Football is going to be back, hopefully. And the NCAA is preparing as well as Arkansas and the University of Arkansas's head coach, Sam Pittman. All right, Scotty, big news this week as we switch over to the hardwood now is Reggie Chaney, Arkansas. I guess you could call him a post, kind of a forward more than anything.
Yeah, it's a modern-day forward.
He's from Tulsa, went to Findlay Prep in Nevada, and he has decided to transfer out of the University of Arkansas.
Yeah, there had been rumors like circulating, I guess, over the weekend.
I mean, dating back almost all the way to last year, if you want to talk about the rumors that were happening last year.
Yeah, I remember vividly. My wife and I were transitioning between living in her house down in the River Valley and moving to Fayetteville, and we were actually staying with her parents for a little while, and I just kept getting texts from people like, sounds like Reggie Chaney's leaving, and so I reached out to some folks that were close to him and got a response. Was like, I don't know like where these rumors are coming from, but Reggie's not leaving. This is like last April, I think, and so that was true. He came back, played his sophomore year. For whatever reason, his sophomore year, he couldn't get on the same page, it seemed like, with everyone else. And I mean, it was pretty evident from when the season started. He started the season on an indefinite suspension. I think he missed the first three games, came back, played fairly well. And then once you hit conference play, you know, I remember that Texas A&M game, he traveled with the ball like three times in just a few minutes. And I think he only played like 18 minutes in like their first three SEC games. Then the LSU incident happened.
Right.
And then he goes to Missouri. He has like 17 points. It was a career high. Had a couple of 11 rebound games. And you're thinking he's like starting to get it and kind of take advantage of, you know, Arkansas not really having that quote unquote traditional inside presence or whatever. And then, you know, toward the end of the year, it's just Ethan Henderson actually, you know, kind of burst on the scene, was playing his best basketball toward the end of the year. And it just throughout the year, there were little moments and things that happened that it just didn't seem like this was the best fit for him. And so hopefully with him entering the portal, you know, he's going to be able to have a fresh start, you know, maybe get it all together so he can, you know, maybe maximize some of his potential somewhere else.
You felt like if there was ever a year that that Chaney would get it together and really perform well at Arkansas, it was going to be this year. Arkansas had the space for him to flourish.
Yeah. I mean, you're playing a guy like Adriel Bailey's your five and he's 6'6".
Yeah.
Like a Reggie Chaney type at 6'8 or 6'9 and like, what, 215, 220? Like, that's a guy that you feel like I'm sure they wanted to be able to depend on him more. I mean, why not? I mean, the guy's athletic. one of the best offense. He was probably the best offensive rebounder on the team. I mean, we went through his season review. He almost had as many offensive rebounds as Jimmy Witt, who led the team in offensive rebounds in like a third of the minutes.
Right.
Which that's pretty impressive. I thought that was a big strength of his game. It was just whenever he didn't play well, he really didn't play well. And when he played well, he was awesome. But he would have those moments where I almost thought that, like, if early in his run on the floor, if he had something positive happen, he was in for a good night. Mm-hmm. If it was the opposite, I mean, he was going to be finding the bench pretty quickly.
I remember sitting beside you in Bud Walton Arena and you saying something. I think it may have been during that A&M game or something when he traveled. You know, like, he's going to be off for the rest of the night. And he was. That's just something that you don't like to see with a guy that needs to be mentally tough in the SEC. And high Division I basketball just needs to be, I don't know, better than one mistake in kind of getting deep.
Yeah, he's definitely got a mental hurdle to get over. And, like, if he can learn at his next stop to, you know, just kind of flush a mistake. Because, like, I know we talked about this during the season review too. If he makes a mistake and, like, makes a live ball turnover, if he hangs his head, he's probably not going to get back and potentially make a play to, you know, save a bucket and have that turnover. You know, that turnover could potentially turn into points, but if he's hanging his head, he probably couldn't get back and you know, possibly stop that from happening. Like, they're just got to get over that mental hurdle. You know, a lot of kids his age need to mature a little bit.
Right.
I mean, it's not just Reggie. There are lots of kids that are that way.
He's,
but he can maximize his potential, absolutely, if he can just grow up mentally.
I think he's just a 19, 20, 21 year old.
Yeah, it's physically he's there.
Right,
physically he's there. I think it's a mindset.
Well, best of luck to Chaney wherever he goes. But with Chaney's departure, and really before Chaney's departure, Arkansas added Justin Smith, a transfer from the University of Indiana. So Arkansas added Smith, and when they added him, they were technically one over.
Yeah.
Mason Jones is declared for the draft, but Isaiah Joe's still technically on the roster. So they had
counting Isaiah toward the 13.
One more scholarship than they could. Well, now that Chaney is gone, that opens up the spot, at least, for Isaiah to come back. No official word on anything yet, and Isaiah doesn't have to give us an official word yet.
Yeah, he's got until August 3rd, right? Or 10 days after the combine.
Right.
To pull his name out of the draft to retain eligibility. So still got some time.
But you were able to talk to some guys that covered Justin Smith. What did you see from, I guess, here? You didn't see anything. What did you hear from those guys about Smith?
The first thing that both of those guys told me is that he has recorded a 48-inch vertical before. So 4 foot and you're 6'7".
Yeah.
Pretty good. I mean, that's really good. And so his athleticism really stands out. Probably Indiana's best defender over the last couple of years. And I was talking to one guy, his name was, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He was telling me that defensively is where Indiana is probably going to miss him the most. Justin Smith led Indiana in minutes played last year. And he said, if you lead an Archie Miller coached team in minutes, that means you're not out there defending nobody. Like he can match up with guys that are a little bit smaller than him, guys that are around the same size and maybe even a little bit bigger, which shows you a little bit of versatility. He can guard, you know, he can guard multiple positions, probably 3 through 5, I would guess. And I think he wants to be more of a 3. I think part of the issues at Indiana is that Archie Miller placed him at, you know, more of the 4 position. And
right.
He wanted to have if you're a 4, you're not going to have the ball in your hands like too awful much. But I think he wants the ball in his hands just a little bit more. So I'm going to be curious to see how Eric Musselman, you know, kind of tinkers with that lineup and see if he can get him into that 3 spot in some situations. Like, I don't know who your 2 guards are, but if you put Justin Smith at a 3, Vance Jackson a 4, potentially. And then
put Ben over at the 5. Everybody can
then insert player at 5. Insert a forward at the 5. Like that's a pretty big lineup, pretty athletic lineup. So that might be something to look out for. Pretty solid on the backboards too. And you know, Arkansas has just really struggled there, especially last year. But I found that Last season, he had at least 2 offensive rebounds in 18 games and 3+ offensive rebounds in 12 games. And as a freshman, he was number 6 in Big Ten play in offensive rebound rate and top 20 as a sophomore. So, that, I mean, he's doing that in what a lot of people consider to be the one of the better college basketball leagues in the country. So that's pretty impressive. As far as weaknesses go, like, it's shooting. Like, he's probably going to be limited as a shooter. You're probably not going to see him step out just a ton from 3-point range. I mean, he can, but he, I think, what is he? He's 25% career 3-point shooter, so not great. You would probably expect to see him, you know, in the 10 to 12 foot range more often than not.
Got a more somewhere, Jimmy of Wit.
Somewhere in the mid range area. And then, you know, just they called him a freakish athlete and called him like a highlight in transition. Where was this? Yeah, he's called him a flashy player in transition. Mm-hmm. So he's going to use some of that athleticism to play above the rim, which is pretty exciting.
All right, Scotty, I got some trivia for you. I did some digging.
All right.
Recruiting rankings became popular around 2003,
mm-hmm.
really, which you can go back and look up. Arkansas basketball has had some good classes. Now, don't read into this too much if you're listening to the podcast, but Arkansas had one recruit on the team last year that was a 4-star or better. Can you name who it was?
Had one player on the roster that was a 4-star?
Coming out of high school was coming a 4-star or better.
Oh, was it Reggie Chaney?
It was not. Now, this is – there can be some consideration, but I used ESPN's rankings and 247's rankings.
All right. Let me pull up this roster. Let me see.
As he does that, there's only been – since 2003, there's only been 4 times since Arkansas has had 6 4-star or better.
Was it Jimmy Witt?
It was Jimmy Witt. Jimmy Witt came to Arkansas, left, and then came back, and he was the 4-star. Everybody else was a 3-star. It's kind of crazy to think Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones were both.
Yeah, no kidding. I know Isaiah Joe had to have just been a 3-star just because of his, you know, he was pretty dang thin coming out of high school.
But so you're gonna lose Witt as he graduated, but coming in to this next class, you have 6 4-stars coming out of high school, and they are all in the class. So Isaiah Joe coming back, still technically a 3-star. If you think about Connor Vanover, he was a 3-star. Ethan Henderson, 3-star. Bebe was a 3-star. JD Notte was not ranked. Desi Sills, 3-star. Isaiah Joe, 3-star. But then you look at, I mean, you know, obviously the 4 guys that are prominent. KK Robinson's a 4-star. Jalen Williams is a 4-star. Devontae Davis is a 4-star. Moses Moody is a 4-star. But then also Vance Jackson, 4-star out of high school. Justin Smith, 4-star out of high school. What Musselman was able to do with a team that only had one 4-star recruit. Now, I'm not saying that just because you have stars by your name, that doesn't mean that your game is going to transfer to the college game. So there is that. But also, that does mean that there is some kind of talent on this roster. And Eric Musselman took a 20-win team and improved the roster by what I would consider to be a large margin.
Oh, the upgrade on the roster is ridiculous just in 1 year.
And that is why the hype is there. That is why you're going to see Arkansas in these 2 early top 25 rankings. Then they're going to be in the conversation for those. Because
yeah, they'll probably be a borderline top 25 team when the season starts, I had to guess.
Because of all that hype. And
yeah,
you're going to see, it'll probably be
especially
another one of those
things. Isaiah Joe comes back.
Yes.
I think that's the key. Like if he returns, I could probably see them being, you know, anywhere from 20 to 25. If, you know, without him, they're probably on the fringe, you know, probably first few teams out, if I had to guess. But, you know, if that team goes out and just starts beating people's faces in early in the season without Isaiah, and then they go to Las Vegas.
That's what I was going to say, is that Vegas game, that Vegas
trip. That Vegas trip could be when this team puts some people on notice.
It'll be interesting to see.
Because if you win your first game, like you're going to get Louisville. And everybody's going to be glued to that game because Louisville was ranked number 1 in the country for a pretty good stretch of the season last year, if I remember right. So there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on that game. So Arkansas will definitely have a chance to make a little statement early in the year.
Before we wrap it up here, Scotty, on the Whole Hog podcast for this week, I just have a question. I've been looking at the roster. Is this Notte's team from the point guard position? Is that who is going to be running the team at the point guard?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I could see it being JD Notte. I've been a fan of JD for a while, just watching some of his highlights from Jacksonville. And I get that it's at Jacksonville, like it's different level of competition. But what Corey Williams, Eric Musselman told me when I did that story on JD, it was back in May, they really saw him improve, like his confidence went up. I mean, it took him some adjusting, like I said, because coming from whatever conference Jacksonville's in.
Are they A-Sun?
Maybe so. Yeah, probably so.
All right, I got to Google it now.
They said he improved his three-point shooting, and they think he's going to be an improved three-point shooter just because the kid likes to be in the gym. And anytime you're in the gym, what's the first thing you're going to do? Like, you're just going to start putting threes up, right? So,
I mean, come on.
Pretty good finishing around the rim. I think he improved there, too. Confidence is a plus, and I kind of like his in-between game. And then, you know, I don't think he's a selfish player either, so he'll look to set teammates up, too. I think Jalen Tate, it's hard for me to say that a grad transfer guard like Jalen Tate is not going to, you know, maybe be the day one guy. Just you're starting fresh and you're just kind of being like, okay, this is who I'm going to start with.
Right.
Things may change, but this is what I'm going to go with to begin. I think it's probably going to be Jalen Tate or JD Notte. That would be probably my guess. With the, you know, a couple, maybe the two guys behind them might be Devo and KK Robinson.
Sounds good. I've just got an idea. By the way, Jacksonville is in the A-Sun. Can you name their mascot?
They're the Dolphins, aren't they?
Yeah. I just got an idea while we were talking about this. I was like, we need to have a weekly update on a random team in NCAA Division I basketball or whatever. Tell about what conference they're in and what's their mascot.
That'd be good.
That's going to be a weekly addition to the Whole Hog podcast now.
Are you going to bring back the press conference clips and let me guess who the coach is and who the coach is talking about?
Yeah,
bring that back.
I need to do that as well. I was a little curious about our new space and what our limitations will be, but we'll definitely get that back in here. We actually don't have limitations in the new space. We have more options.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
I can breathe in this room.
You can breathe and there's not a noisy AC in the background.
Right.
All right. Well, Scotty, you got anything else to add?
I'm good, man.
All right. Well, I appreciate you joining today on the almost did the basketball podcast in America.
You almost did it. You said you weren't going to do it.
I did it. I don't know if I said I wasn't going to do it. I said over under on how many times. Well, that's going to do it for us here on the Whole Hog podcast. Scotty Bordeline, make sure to check out all of his writings. The links will be in the description for everything that we talked about, from football to basketball, everything in between. Make sure to check out the description. You can do that by just clicking on the podcast art wherever you are at, and make sure to subscribe wherever you are listening to, so that way we will just end up right in your inbox. You don't have to go searching for us. You don't have to happen upon us on social media. You can get it right there on your cellular device. It just pops up. It's nice and easy. All right, Scotty, thanks again, and thanks to our entire Whole Hog staff. Until next time.